some of the podcasts we've done so far and some of them we'll get on to doing, a lot of people will be wondering why this one's come about, Andrew. I think it's fair to say the reason this has come about is because who are the most successful team?
UCD.
Yeah, in the A Championship history, a brief history, which we'll get on to.
They weren't that successful. They won it twice, but like, you know.
Well, look, I think after the Dream Team podcast, I owed you this one, had to give it to you to pick the spirits back up. So I think it's only fair we delve into a reserve team league.
Yeah, just what I want to hear now.
We need to give a bit of background as to what we're going to be talking about here. We sort of mentioned it a moment ago, but essentially the A Championship was a League of Ireland reserve teams league for those who never would have encountered it. Founded in 2008 and finished by 2011. So it won't take long to delve into the history of this fine competition. It was a league split into two groups, sort of Southern and Northern, usually, more often than not, when they could manage to populate it with that many. The old round robin format, which is, it's 2GA, like for me, never a big fan of it. And then the winners essentially played off in the final. It was, you know, essentially reserve teams weren't able to be promoted in it as well, which is a kind of obvious point to make. That's why you never see the likes of Castilla in La Liga. And yeah, the highest placed non-reserve side would get a promotion playoff game with the first division. So that's a little bit of it sort of summed up as to what it was, why it ever existed. We're not even going to get into, Andrew, the A Championship Cup or the A Championship Shield.
No, I think the league itself is enough.
It's the one you want to concentrate on.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, those are separate podcasts.
Yeah.
Probably takes about 2 minutes to get through those.
Probably, yeah.
In terms of how it came about, we should probably get into a little bit of that as well. I think I'm right in saying it was suggested in the second Genesis report, along with a couple of other suggestions that weren't obviously taken on board by the FAI. And the idea was that it would be sort of regionalised and ultimately include all counties in Ireland, which I don't think too many people would, on the basis of it, have a big disagreement about. But I think how it's so fractured, how the league and how a lot of the schoolboy clubs and all that kind of thing, it's so fractured, it was bound to run into problems, I think.
You know, I think the concept of having a team from every county is a great idea. I think, obviously, looking at the teams that were in it, Castlebar Celtic were in it, FC Carlow, Tralee Dynamo, like, they're probably places that should have a League of Ireland club. And, look, I'm not going to say why should some places will have it in this conversation, but, like, it's a great idea. But maybe the B teams of the League of Ireland clubs probably, I wouldn't say, maybe they're, well, people who are going to the games are like, here, what's the point in going to see a, no disrespect, like a Shamrock Rovers B team, like, what's the point, you know?
And we're topical because we'll get on to that. Yeah. No, I think, as you said, at its basis, it makes sense. If you were starting out with no footballing experience and you were asked how a League of Ireland team would work, you would think, oh, there must be, you know, 30-something teams split into, you know, two leagues, because that would only make sense. But obviously, it is, as I said, it's a little bit more complicated. Do you know where I think a lot of the idea would have come from? And it, you know, it deserves legs. It deserves credit. JD, I think, the man we've talked about so often on these podcasts. I think it was initially a suggestion from Big Papa Joe Delaney, who apparently wanted to regionalise the Premier Division into North and South sections in his time in charge of the FAI. But obviously, they weren't connected to the league at that point, so we're unable to do so. Could you see that being a possibility nowadays?
You'd have essentially
a Dublin league.
It would sound far too MLS.
Yeah.
I don't think like Ireland isn't that big. You could probably drive from here to Sligo within maybe 2 hours, just over 2 hours maybe.
I think at the rate we're going at as well is we're losing teams.
Exactly, yeah.
as like, it goes on, yeah. So you're going to be very much left.
Be like three teams in one league and one in the other.
So that at its basis was the A Championship. I mean, you mentioned a couple of the teams involved there. UCD had plenty of success in that. I don't really know whether it did them much good in the years that kind of followed that. You would probably argue it didn't really do too many teams any good. I think maybe a few teams, when they dropped down, had time to sort of, if Limerick had the option of that now, I think it would be appreciated. A bit more time to sort of look, get rid of a lot, you know, whatever cost was having, get a few of the reserves in. I mean, the underage players that came in towards the end at Limerick were you know, a big part of just playing the last couple of weeks of the season. So you would think something like that might come in handy the odd time. But as I said, practically right now, I'm not sure.
But in terms of a competitive one, I think UCD, they won in 2008, and the team that won it in 2008 ended up going on to win the first division. So
right, maybe so developmentally, like, it seems to
potentially
work out.
But like in terms of, you know, financially and, you know, the practicality of that, I don't think it was ever really a runner, if you know.
No,
what I mean.
and that comes to a head about a year into the league existing at the 2009 club's annual conversation. The FEI essentially probably taking some questions at that stage as well. They faced calls by some clubs to scrap the A Championship. I think Dundalk were one of the main players at the time that pointed out, saying it was a financial burden on the participating clubs. Waterford also wanted it to be optional. They said, look, there's no point in sort of making this a mandatory thing, which, again, it probably makes sense, actually, because, look, I keep kind of alluding to it. We are going to talk a bit about Shamrock Rovers B. It makes sense to me that if teams want to have this as an option, it should be an option. But at the same time, I can see why it would be problematic. You mentioned the financial burden there. I think refereeing standards was a huge, huge problem. Apart from, as you said, those who might not be interested, there was disciplinary issues here and there, but refereeing standards, I imagine, wouldn't. I mean, we've got refereeing standards questions in the Premier, you know?
Yeah, no, even in the under-19s leagues at the minute, like even the underage League of Ireland leagues, they're, like most of the referees, they're kind of taken from local settings. They're not, well, maybe the bigger games they wouldn't be, but maybe say like a more regional club like your Longford, your Athlone, maybe your Sligo's even, maybe Finn Harps as well. The refereeing has been questioned by a lot of people. Like, it's just a local ref that they just come along with, and you know, like it's like you can't maybe, what's the word? I suppose call it a, you know, competitive thing when mm-hmm. you're just having referees from a local area. Like it's.
There's regardless of it being reserves or, you know, clubs that are not necessarily reserve teams but playing in that method, it still has to be a level of professionalism, and unfortunately it just wasn't able to achieve that. And nothing sums that up better than this line from the Irish Independent, the report around that time. The Irish Independent has learned of one case where a club, short of two players for an away A Championship match, paid two locals to make up their team while a number of fixtures have been postponed because clubs didn't have enough players. So, I mean, it's not exactly the Roy the Rover situation where you're like, hey, kid, have you got your boots? Hop on and play, you know, beside us here. This is very much a case of grabbing two lads who, I mean, they must have been kitted out going to the game, which is, you know, questionable behaviour anyway. But they must have literally just cobbled together some players. They don't name the team. Yeah. Any guesses as to who it was?
I don't know, but I'm going to get in serious trouble here from a certain member who hasn't showed up tonight, but that's Leinster Senior Cup behaviour, that is, I think. Yeah,
I think that's harsh. I think that's harsh. I'm not sure you'd see that behaviour in such a final competition as the Leinster Senior Cup.
I'm angry, Tony, I have to be honest. Your behaviour was despicable. We do deserve it, yeah. Being robbed during the season with the Dublin City affair. I'm sorry, Tony, but I'm angry as well. I was angry before the game. I've been angry for a long time. And all I can say is, Stephen Kenny, we've won it. So go on, go back to Scotland and get lost. People talk about Stephen Kenny's a nice guy. I don't want people like that in the league. His carry on's been absolutely outrageous.
Very strong words from Stuart Byrne there. Roddy, what do you reckon?
Well, I think he was a bit angry.
It's also a fitting place to talk about this league at this very, very time, because we're only recently seen the possibility that Shamrock Rovers B would be entered into the First Division in Limerick's place. It doesn't necessarily look like it's going to be. We talked a little bit about this. Today we're recording. Neil O'Riordan's written a piece in The Sun that there's going to be essentially that the rivals will decide on the issue. There'll be a bit of a vote about this. McDermott, do you see, first of all, do you see it happening? I would think by all reports it seems very unlikely. And second of all, do you think that is problematic, or do you think that's fair enough?
Well, I think it might be problematic for the First Division clubs, which means that they'll be idle every fifth week because there's only going to be nine teams due to Limerick's demise in the First Division.
They are, I think they're seeming to be in favour of that, though.
Yeah, they are, yeah. Maybe they just don't want to see that you know, Rovers did it in 2014, and again they replaced, there was an amalgamation of Merview and Salt Hill into Galway, so there was a spot available in the First Division, and Rovers put a B team in then. Like, I had a look at it during the week, and just to kind of look back at the time, like, Rovers were allowed to have three over eight kind of Premier Division players, outfield players, drop into the squad as well as the goalkeeper. So, like, what Rovers were looking to do was to try and bring players through the gap between the under 19 league and the senior league being quite wide, which is something we've talked about. And so that's why they went to do that. Now, interestingly enough, the FAI for the under 19 league this year, just this week, have announced for next season, have announced that there will be two overage players allowed, which will, you know, maybe help in that situation. But Rovers didn't actually use a lot of their Premier Division players in the squad that year. So Colin Hawkins was the manager, and while he used 37 players that year, there was only eight first team players actually dropped down to play in the First Division. And in total, they just made 14 appearances. So really, it very much was a B team squad. Now, they cobbled together a bit of a squad from their under 19 team from the previous season, and they brought in 10 kind of overage or more experienced players. So, like to say, Chris Lyons, who actually played for Bohemians, they brought Chris in, and he played for in the First Division. He top scored with 6 goals. You know, he's gone on to have a good career, mostly in the First Division, and that's probably was, you know, the players that played that year, the likes of kind of Sean Heaney, Evan Ozam, Alan Keogh, they went on to make a number of first team appearances for Rovers, a limited amount, and then have played elsewhere. And a lot of the other players, just having a look at the list here, Shane Fagan, Cian Kavanagh, Kevin Knight, Jack Watson, they've all played in the league since then, but mostly in the First Division. Mm. But what I'd say is, like, Rovers only had that for one season. They didn't I think it's hard to look at the merits of it. They had looked that year not to put a team into under 19, but the FAI didn't allow it. And then at the end of that season, the under 17 league came in. So there was a significant cost, close to about a six-figure sum, I think, to run that first division team that season. So Rovers ultimately decided they'd pack it in. There'd also been a change of manager as well. The academy in the first team, the academy structure wasn't as strong as it was now.
Yeah, well, this is what now. I was going to say. We've kind of gone underage leagues going all the way from, is it under 19 to under 13 level?
Under 13. Yeah. And
so there is progression up until that point. Now, as we know, the A Championship was sort of absorbed nearly into the under 19s. Originally, I should point out that it was essentially a structure of a 10-team Premier Division, a 12-team First Division, the A Championships, and then the under 20s. So the way we have it at the moment, then, is there a little bit of a gap to be made between? I remember reading a piece that Rude Doctor had talked in, it was last year, and he basically thought there was merit in the First Division acting as a bit of a bridge between the senior football and the 19s. He said, it's a quote from him, maybe you have more clubs in the First Division with the second teams from some Premier Divisions and make it 12 to 14 teams. He sort of used Portugal and their league as a bit of an example for this. So is there more merit in that than we're given?
I think so. And in, like, what Rovers ended up doing is that they would have had younger players that were contracted last season that they sent out on loan to First Division or indeed the Premier Division clubs. So, like, Sean Boyd was on loan at Finn Harps and Longford. Dean Williams was at loan and Bray and did very well. Sean Callan was very well regarded at Wexford, and he came back and was in the senior squad for Rovers towards the end of the season. But, you know, Rovers have the money and the inclination to kind of do that. But ideally, they want them to be playing you know, first team football and playing proper, you know, proper matches. So having a B team, which is structured for them to play in the First Division, I think would be good for them. But I think the other clubs are looking at it, well, it's good for Rovers, but it's not really good for the other clubs. What I'd say is that, you know, when Rovers played B team games away from home, they brought no away fans.
Yeah.
So it was a home game for the teams to, okay, well, we're not going to be idle, which isn't great for teams either, and we'll get a home game that a home supporters will turn up, but they weren't exactly bumper crowds. So, but other clubs are, there's been a bit of talk that that other Premier Division clubs are looking at. I think Pats were maybe mentioned as well.
Well, I was going to ask this. I'll open this up to the two of you. How many teams do you think would manage to field a B team?
Well, that's it's a cost.
As you said, I mean, it probably does need to be optional, but then do you have to create a new division for it, like the A Championship? Are we looking at getting the A Championship back?
Yeah, I don't think it should be...
Good sponsorship example. Well, chance for extra time than I am.
I don't think it should be compulsory. But it's a big commitment for teams to do, and like they have to have the underage teams. But would Dundalk be willing to do that?
To my knowledge, have they got a standout youth structure that they could afford to?
Well, if you look at the underage Ireland representative teams, there's always a good smattering of players from around the league, but generally not at Dundalk.
Yeah.
It's not an attack on anyone.
This is down to financial constraint. It's down to
and priorities.
Of course. Yeah. They haven't got where they are by going right back to the academy. They've gone, we've talked about the Dundalk team of the recent years. How many of them have come in and settled there, not necessarily come from there or come through any sort of academy there. So. Yeah, it doesn't smack of something that there's a whole lot of potential for too many teams. I also wonder, could Limerick put in a Limerick B team without having a Limerick A? Because that might be the answer to all of our problems here.
No.
Like, one of the things is the clubs really, ideally, should have a good structure right through. And different clubs have done it different ways. I was over in England the other week and I went to watch Brentford play, and they don't have an academy structure at all. They just have a B team, and they played a couple of pre-season friendlies here in February in the last couple of seasons, as in pre-season for League of Ireland clubs. And what they do is basically they have a squad of players between 17 and 21 that they play in like friendlies. So like they were playing Hibernian the other week, they're playing Bordeaux. I don't know what is it, an Austrian or German side, Liefering, in February, and they play in cup competitions, and they're a bit of a money ball team, so they think that's better, and they've had a number of players that have come through into the Brentford team, and they've a number of players that have also sold elsewhere. So I think we've certainly talked on this podcast before about the youth league and the under 23 set up in the UK. The criticism of that, it's not proper football, it's not...
Well, the amount of players that come back here and say that it just wasn't proper football.
Yeah.
So then, say in our division here, how do we bridge that gap, do you think? I mean, is this the likely way going forward to have a B team knocking about? Because there clearly is a gap to bridge for some of these teams. If Shamrock Rovers are asking the question, if a few other teams are asking the question, there's a gap to bridge between where their youth players play and bring them through. Now, to be fair to Shamrock Rovers, we're talking about a team who have brought some of the youth through into the first team squad, but they're not going to get the experience required. And if we're talking, we're setting up structures from under 13 to under 19, well, then we can't just leave a gap then after that. And it's sort of, good luck, you better step up. We probably do need an area where, we're either going to get onto feeder teams or we're going to get onto a reserve league or something to that effect. You know what I mean?
There are other leagues around Europe where they have the system. So in Spain, in Portugal, I think in the Dutch league as well. And, the B teams can't be promoted. Like Rovers in 2014, their B team didn't play in the FAI Cup. So like what's happened a lot of the time is, in the Leinster Senior Cup, a lot of sides will play an under 19 team. A lot of League of Ireland sides will play an under 19 team just simply because it's trying to fulfill all those fixtures within. But there is that gap. There's no doubt. It's very hard for players who are, in the under 19 team to go into the first team of a Premier Division club, and stake a claim. That's what you want. So what happens is, a lot of them will end up playing maybe in the First Division, and they can have a good football career in the First Division. What you're trying to do is develop players that'll come into your first team. Your first team will be successful. You give them an opportunity to play maybe in the First Division, play good competitive football, get that under the belt, come into your Premier Division team, and the team is successful. And then if they're really good, you sell them on and you make money. And that's certainly the model that Shamrock Rovers are looking at.
Can I just say I'm so glad that in some fashion Limerick FC were able to be the catalyst for this conversation, and, you know, be able to be the reason that we are now looking to the future of how to develop the Irish youth system. I think it's a great achievement on Limerick's part.